Genesis 19:23-30. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities into which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And then 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. May God bless the reading of his word. And dear church family, deep within each of us, especially those of us who are a bit older, 2022 has slipped by uncomfortably fast. And I say uncomfortably because the speed of 1 year is a reflection of how fast our lives disappear. New Year's Eve is a time to think about that. It's a terminus point, isn't it? An ending point of a year. And it preaches to us the ending point of our lives. Death is inevitable for every one of us. There's no escape from it. There's no reversal. And death means judgment. And judgment means that all that we've ever said or done or thought will come into view. How will we then stand before a holy God? Sometimes people say our lives are like a movie. But that's not true. A movie, you can splice out what you want to splice out. So you make it just the way you want it to be. But 2022 will come back on the day of judgment. You can't splice anything out. You can't splice out one thought in your mind from the mind of God. He knows all things. He never forgets. So December 31 calls us to remember. To remember who we are as a human being. To remember where we're going. To remember we have just one soul. To prepare for one eternity. and to remember that eternity is timelessness. You've got to be ready. I've got to be ready. In fact, Jesus said, "Be ye always ready, for you don't know the day of your death. You don't know when the angel of death will come, take out his sickle, and call you home." Are you ready? You young people, children, I'm glad to see so many of you here tonight. Are you ready to meet the Lord if you were to die? And you, parents, grandparents, if it had been our name that we're going to hear in the necrology at the end of this service, could you say, "It is well with my soul"? Well, tonight, I want to ask the question, and this is the title of my sermon, how will you finish 2022? Fearfully or wonderfully? And I have four thoughts I want to lay before you based on this passage from Genesis 19 and also 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. One, remember Sodom. Two, remember Lot's wife. Three, remember Lot. And four, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. Well, the story is well known to all of us. Also, you children know it well. In the chapter before, you remember how Abraham pleads with God to spare Sodom and Gomorrah, mainly out of fear that Lot would die in his backsliding condition. But in this chapter, I read to you tonight that after God said he would spare the entire cities if he could find 10 righteous people, Lot gets up the next, or rather Abraham gets up the next morning early and goes to the place, the very place where he stood with God and begged God to have mercy on Sodom and Gomorrah, and he looks out over the plains and he sees the smoke. What a sight. All the smoke of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, like a smoking furnace, thick billows of smoke rising up to heaven. Terrible sight, terrible smell. The cities of the plain, the surrounding beautiful valley are no more. Some of us remember the images of the oil fires of Kuwait. More of us remember the smoke billowing out of the World Trade Center buildings, 9/11/01. It was something like that, but even more dramatic, that Abraham saw. And so verses 24 and 25 tell us, "The Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord." Twice it's the Lord, you see, out of heaven. "And he overthrew," there's a third time, "he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities that and that which grew upon the ground." There's not a single one of us sitting or standing here tonight that doesn't deserve that kind of treatment, because we're all sinners. Not just little sinners, big sinners. Every sin is big in the sight of God. Every moment we don't love God above all, we don't love our neighbors, ourselves, we're being big sinners. Yes, Sodom and Gomorrah were notable for the atrocity of their sin, for the unnaturalness of their sins, indulging in all kinds of forms of sexuality, much like our day. Our nation, as a nation, certainly deserves this, don't you think? It's like we're flaunting with God, radically disobeying every one of His commandments, counting sin good and counting good evil. And yet Lot fled out of Sodom. And God was merciful to Lot. Even as the brimstone and the sulfur, the same substance that is in a match. If you rub the head of a match, it catches fire. It burns easily. Well, there were asphalt pits around Sodom. And God, whether He sent an earthquake accompanied by its customary lightning to set these pits on fire, or whether He hurled fire miraculously from heaven, or performed some combination of sovereign acts, we can't be sure of all the details, but it appears these pits were set aflame, and the entire area burned up, and everyone died. But it was God who did it. That's a solemn thing. God who decided to do it. God who executed it. God Himself deluged life-destroying rain, hurling it, as it were, blocks of burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah. And they had no time to think about it. Think about a way of escape. These were moments of total terror and despair. There were the cries of the dying, no doubt, that filled the city. There was the roaring of the fire upon this city. Everything was fire underneath them, around them, on top of them. It was a terrible inferno of flames. And God's call to us tonight is remember Sodom. Remember Sodom. You know, it's so easy to become like Sodom when you're surrounded by Sodom, because our hearts have Sodom-like sins residing in them. And we need God's grace. We need God's grace to reject Sodom, to reject the worldly way of life. I've had the privilege of going to Sodom. You can still see that everything is dead there. Nothing lives in the Dead Sea where the remains of Sodom are. It's like a huge, fruitless salt marsh. Surrounding the Dead Sea is a dead land, a salty, sandy wasteland covered with scars and pits and pillars of salt. Maybe you say tonight, but how could God do that? How could He do that? Isn't God love? How could He execute justice and judgment in such dreadful ways? Oh, yes, God is love. But God is not love at the expense of His justice. God even executed ferocious justice upon His own Son, pouring out His wrath against sin upon Jesus in order to save lost sinners. But as Isaiah said, if the Lord does this to the green wood, the fruitful tree, His own Son, what shall He then do to the dead, barren, dry wood? And have you, in 2022, been barren, dead, dry wood? Well, remember Sodom. Remember Sodom. What a warning to us today. Sodom is a foretaste of the eternal fires of hell. 2 Peter 2:6 says, He turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that afterwards should live ungodly. It couldn't get plainer, could you? The Bible says, the New Testament says, Sodom and Gomorrah are an example for those of us who are living ungodly of what hell is going to be like one day if we continue in the ways of sin. Remember Sodom. Sodom is destroyed in a moment. One day, if we're unsaved, we will stand before the great judge of heaven and earth, and we will be destroyed in a moment. And that day, there won't be a second opportunity. There will be no last calls to repent. It'll be too late. It's like you, boys and girls, if your mom calls you for supper, maybe sometimes you don't come at the first call. You think, well, there's going to be another call. And another call. And you come slowly. But that's not going to happen on the day of judgment. There will be no more calls. And you will be judged. If you're not in Jesus, you will be thrown into the pit. Remember Sodom. Sodom is destroyed. Destroyed. And Jesus says that when His name is proclaimed to a culture, when we are sitting in the house of God and hear the offers of Christ coming to us, that He's willing to be our Savior, it will be dreadfully worse for us if we have turned away from the Lord Jesus Christ and rejected Him. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew 11, 23, 24, "Thou Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." Puritan Thomas Brooks put it so movingly, I almost hardly dare to repeat his words, but I have to, because it's biblical. Right here, Matthew 11. Jesus is saying that the hottest place in hell, the hottest place in hell, said Thomas Brooks, is reserved for those who have rejected the overtures all their life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The closer you are to the preaching overtures of the gospel, the more accountable you will be on the day of judgment if you have rejected the Son of God. The worst sin of all, the worst sin of all, is to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Anathema, maranatha. That means let him be cursed in the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, remember, remember Sodom. Abraham watches the smoke in silence. It is an awful sight. He doesn't say a word. He just bows before God. What will you say on the day of judgment before, when you stand before God? Have you been plucked from the burning here in this life? Have you been snatched from your own self-destructing ways, pulled out, drawn to the Lord? That's only because there was a greater Abraham praying for you. His name is Jesus. Abraham is silent. But Lot is preserved through Abraham's intercession. And therefore, for those of us who do know what it means to find our life in Christ, this is not to our credit in any way. It is completely due to the greater Abraham's intercession, his sacrifice, his resurrection, his intercession. We deserve nothing. We all deserve nothing. We all need to be sober on a night like this. But tonight, congregation, tonight, may I say it this way, in the burning flames of Sodom, in the midst of those flames, is the cross of Christ. He suffered and he died for the greatest of sinners. And he's willing to save you. Yes, you. The cross is erected right where you're at, right in the midst of your sin, right in the midst of your misery, your sin, your guilt. Jesus Christ is proclaimed to you again tonight. He wasn't crucified in some clean touristy place. He was crucified in the place where there were skulls and dirt and filth all around. The scum of this world was crucified where he was crucified. He was crucified in the midst of two thieves. Jesus in the midst. He's willing to be your Savior tonight. Repent of your sins. Turn to the Savior. Remember Sodom. He was crucified in the midst of thick darkness. In the midst of the agonizing wrath of Almighty God. He went into that wrath. He went into the Holy of Holies. He came out of the outer darkness that surrounded the cross, the country, and the land. And he was raised from the dead. Remember Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead according to my gospel, says Paul. In the midst of remembering Sodom, remember Jesus Christ. And cry out tonight, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I cannot go on unsaved. I cannot go on until I know experientially there is now therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. But then, secondly, remember Lot's wife. Don't only remember Sodom. Remember Lot's wife. Jesus Christ said these words. Remember Lot's wife. Luke 17, 32. Lot's wife was a professor of religion. Were she alive today, she'd be sitting in a church. Probably be a nominal member of the church. She wasn't like her sons-in-law who refused to leave Sodom. She wasn't like Job's wife who told him to curse God and die. She was partly drawn to Lot's faith. And she was a favored woman. Her husband, albeit often weakly, feared God. Abraham was her uncle by marriage. She no doubt was the beneficiary of the prayers of both men. She no doubt heard Abraham often talking about the beauty of serving the Lord. And Lot's wife had witnessed on several occasions special divine intervention that spared her and her husband. She had seen divine visitors come to their tent. And yet all this made little impression upon her never dying soul. Despite all the opportunities she had to bow under God, all the warnings and invitations of heaven, she lived and died graceless and impenitent and unbelieving. The eyes of her understanding were never opened. Her will was never brought into subjection under God. Her heart was never renewed in the inner man. Her affections were never set on the things above. She outwardly conformed to religion, but the world dominated her thoughts and her heart. Remember, Lot's wife, don't be like that. You possess many religious privileges as well, through preaching, through the means of grace, through being surrounded by believers. But if you don't know the Lord savingly, you're in deep trouble, my friend. You need to deal with this. You need to pray even now. Don't let me take unforgiven sin across the threshold into 2023. Lord, I need to be forgiven now. I need thy cleansing blood now. Remember Lot's wife. Yes, she made it out of Sodom, but she didn't make it to Zoar. She looked back. Three simple words sealed her doom. She looked back, the Bible says. And that looking back revealed where her heart really was. It revealed her true character of rebellion and disobedience. The angel had warned her, look not behind thee. She disobeyed. She went behind Lot, dragging her heels. And when the opportunity arose, she just snuck a glance back, wistfully. But she looked back. Yes, she gazed back. She lingered behind. She defiantly disobeyed out of proud unbelief. She saw no reason why she had to leave Sodom and all her possessions so quickly. She didn't really appear to believe that God was going to destroy Sodom imminently. Her life's heartbeat was one of unbelief, not one of faith. No, she didn't despise God's word the way her sons-in-law did. But she didn't live by that word. That word didn't dominate her life. That word carried little value and weight in her mind. Her heart, her inward love was for the things she could see, for the possessions she had, for the things of time and sense. Her body was outside of Sodom, but her heart was back in it. Her eyes were turned to where her heart's treasure was. She couldn't let go of her stuff. She could easier let go of her soul than her stuff. She never understood what Jesus said. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Remember Lot's wife. We are all too worldly. We are all too worldly. But where is your heart, my friend? Where's your heart tonight? Where's your heart been in 2022? Have you lived more for God or for yourself? More for heavenly things or earthly things? Lest you say, in the words of Jeremiah, the summer is past, the harvest is ended, and now we've come to the end of the year and we are not saved. Remember Lot's wife. Her end is hopeless. She becomes a pillar of salt. She drops straight into hell. Stop loving the world. Stop trying to serve two masters. Stop halting between two opinions. Stop every known sin. Repent and believe the gospel and cast yourself upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ, who's raised from the dead according to my gospel. Remember Lot's wife, her privileges, her sin, and her end. And don't go down that road. And then thirdly, remember Lot. Remember Lot. Oh, what a mixed affair Lot's life was. If you read this scripture in Genesis 19, you're going to say Lot was surely an unsaved man. And yet Peter tells us that he was a man grieved with the sins of Sodom. But we need to remember Lot as well, because Lot made some serious mistakes in his life. First, we see him living with his tent towards Sodom. That was his first big mistake. Then we read in 14:12 that he was living in Sodom somehow. And then his children befriended the Sodomites. And then in Genesis 19:1, he was sitting in the gate of the city on Sodom's town council. And then he even shows at least the remnants of Sodomite thinking when he offers two of his daughters to be abused by the crowd of men surrounding his house. Then he loses his future sons-in-law to Sodom. Finally, he lingers and needs to be pulled out of Sodom by angels. And then on the way to Zoar, he loses his wife, whose heart could not leave Sodom. You get the picture? Step by step by step. That's the picture of backsliding. That can happen even in a believer's life to some degree or another. If you had told Lot as he first traveled to Sodom that the end result of his choosing the fair land just outside of Sodom, the end result of his weak confession of faith and his poor choices would be that he would lose all his goods, end up living in a cave near Zoar, and commit drunken incest with his youngest daughters, he would have been shocked. He would have been repulsed. But every step in the downward spiral of Lot's life can be traced back to his weak, compromising confession of faith and to his initial choices of taking wrong paths and not seeing the danger of worldly living. Oh, the fatal results of compromise and bad choices. Lot made a mess of his life. What a warning. What a warning to us. Remember Lot. Don't be like him. Seek the godly path in Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead according to my gospel. That gospel that works purity and godliness. That gospel that works sanctification in the souls that are justified. What a glorious gospel we have. And what a shame, what a horrific, horrific shame when we live outside of this gospel. Either when we backslide or when we dangerously play with fire with our own souls for eternity. Yes, remember Sodom. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot. But fourthly and happily, remember Jesus Christ. Raised from the dead, says Paul. The seed of David, as we just commemorated last Lord's Day with Christmas, is raised from the dead according to my gospel. Paul is so earnest, he calls it my gospel. He's the one, more than any other writer in the Bible, who set forth again and again the clarity of justification by faith alone. And he's raised again. This is a tangible proof that the gospel, that the double obedience of Jesus, dying on behalf of the sins of his people, living according to the law perfectly for their obedience, this double obedience of Jesus is affirmed, confirmed, ratified, sealed, guaranteed, through his resurrection from the dead. He is true, and let every man be a liar. This is a seal. His resurrection is a seal, a confirmation of all his claims. He said, destroy this temple, my body, and in 3 days it will be raised again. And it was. Remember Jesus Christ according to my gospel. He's raised again, and his resurrection is a guarantee of his children's resurrection. His resurrection is a picture of what all believers already enjoy in principle, new life, being new creations here, but one day we'll enjoy perfectly with no more sin to be with him, raised to a new life forever in glory, sin-free, with their soul and their body reunited, resurrected from the dead. This is the way to live. This is the way to end 2022. Don't end it wallowing in this world. Don't end it keeping yourself distant from Jesus Christ. Don't end it refusing to repent and believe the gospel. End 2022. I beseech you, end it in the gospel, my gospel, the gospel the ministers here have preached to you, the gospel that's contained in this precious book we call the Bible, the gospel that you have your houses filled with books illustrating. Go to that gospel, and in that gospel, and in Jesus who's resurrected from the dead. That gospel is bigger than all your trials, all your sorrows, all your sufferings, all your hopeless circumstances. With that gospel, you can go into 2023 with a clean slate between God and your soul. With that gospel, you can live for the glory of God. With that gospel, you can live in comfort and die in peace. With that gospel, you can experience, my only comfort in life and death is that I don't belong to myself, but I belong to the faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember Christ. Remember he is risen from the dead. Remember the victory lies in the gospel. Remember that in Jesus the world looks dull and boring and gray and drab, like the weather we've been having. That's what the world is like. Jesus Christ is full of color and life and victory and glory and beauty. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Any other life is a life of futility. Any other life is a wasted life. Any other life will bring you to hell. Remember Jesus Christ, the seed of David, is raised from the dead according to my gospel. It's as if Paul is saying, Timothy, if you and I and all other believers have died with him, we shall also live with him. And if we endure, we shall reign with him. Timothy, remember that. Remember that. And when the world tries to pretend it has happiness in its shallow efforts to find happiness in the midst of sin, don't be persuaded, Timothy. Don't be persuaded. Don't worship any other man. Not Nero. Not any political leader ever who ever lived. But Jesus Christ is the one to remember. Exalted at the right hand of the Father. He has the reins of the universe in his hands. His church abides forever. One day it will be a church triumphant, Timothy. And you and I will be among them. So remember Jesus Christ, Timothy. Risen from the dead. That's the way to end 2022. In Jesus Christ. Risen from the dead. According to my gospel. I just love the way. Don't you love the way Paul calls it my gospel? He's just so filled with the gospel. So filled with it living in his own heart. So filled with preaching it. So filled with the life of it, he just calls it my gospel. He is mine and I am his. Live that way. remember Jesus Christ. So remember Sodom. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot. And let that triple remembrance drive you to Jesus Christ. The answer is not in you. The answer is not even in God-fearing Lot, who went the wrong way in so many ways. The answer that you need for life, for death, for eternity, is in the glorious resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you want to really end 2022 wonderfully and not fearfully? Repent and believe with all your heart by the grace of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ, the seed of David, raised from the dead according to my gospel. Amen. Gracious God, we ask thy benediction upon this short sermon tonight. We pray that thou wilt use it for the salvation of the lost and for a poignant reminder to backsliders, but also for the joy of thy people. Oh, that we would all be drawn. Draw us, Spirit of God, and we will run after thee to Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord of glory. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ who died. Yea, rather, who is risen again, and who now intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father. O Lord Jesus Christ, we thank thee so much for the gospel, which is thyself. For the gospel and thyself, precious Savior, are really synonyms. Thou art the gospel. Help us then to come just as we are to thee, just as thou art, and to experience that thy strength is greater than our sin. O God, don't give us what we deserve. Don't treat us as thou hast treated Sodom, but conquer us, allure us, draw us. May we behold the King in his beauty and bow before him with the totality of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On May 27, 2022, Wilmer Coonard passed away at the age of 86. On August 13, 2022, Peter Poles passed away at the age of 78. On August 25, 2022, John Vanderboon passed away at the age of 94. And on December 10, 2022, Jenna Van Kempen passed away at the age of 101. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for for he will abundantly pardon.